Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christa Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With six hospital campuses, Christa Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christa Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Peace be with you. My sisters and brothers, welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral this morning, and to those who are watching on television or listening by radio or streaming, we welcome you to be a part of this moment of prayer. Let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Glory to God in the highest.
Blessed be the Lord, us pray.
Almighty ever-living God, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us, that those who you were pleased to make new in holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit and come to the joys of eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city and made a considerable number of disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, "It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God." They appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting commended them to the Lord, in whom they had put their faith. Then they traveled through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. After proclaiming the word at Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had condemned to the grace of God for the work they had now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of the faith to the Gentiles. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
They shall speak of the glory of your reign and declare your mighty deeds. I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. To make known your might to the children of mine, and the glorious splendor of your reign. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your rule endures for all generations.
A reading from the book of Revelation. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away." The one who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
We're in the season of promises. Every day, some political candidate is making a promise to all of us, speaking as representing all Americans. And that's from all five candidates and both parties, promises, promises, promises. But if we're real, we know none of those can be realized in their entirety as they're presented. Because there's always an opposing force. A promise has to be a mutual agreement to be fulfilled clearly and real. And so we have to look at ourselves as Catholics, as Catholic Christians, in this political season of promises, and ask ourselves, who are we? And don't get your hopes up. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, what party, anything else. We're not going there because we cannot. But there are some fundamentals that we have that need to be alive in us to understand our participation in this, which may not be what you think. So many people understand the Catholic Church as an organization of moral precepts. You can do this, you can't do that, don't do this, do this, kneel, stand, sit. How can you remember all these things? Another element of the society might see us people as people who simply have liturgies, come together to pray and to make processions, pray rosaries, etc. And that's how we are perceived. But none of those will get promises completed and done. All of that is supportive to the fundamental belief of who we truly are, not what we do, but who we are as Christians and indeed as human beings. And I'm saying all of this because I believe the scriptures readings today are meant for us so that we can truly understand really who we are. And perhaps, hopefully, embrace that vision today in a new way. So let's go to the gospel reading. As we know, St. John never made a recounting of the institution of the Holy Eucharist. He probably had seen that Matthew, Mark, and Luke already told that narrative of the Last Supper, Jesus taking bread, Jesus taking the wine. And so he puts it in the context. While not reporting it, he gives us the context of the Last Supper. And in that context, he washed the feet of his disciples. The Lord and the Master, God, indeed God, washed the feet of his disciples. The teacher washing the feet of the students. Do we not have something new there? And as we know from the other accounts of the Eucharist, Jesus said, do this in memory of me. And that's what we do here every Sunday. But we don't come just to remember what happened. This is a memorial, which means what happened 2,000 years ago on Calvary is brought to us today in liturgy, in prayer, in sacrament. So that one act of Jesus, the supreme act of love, is here today. And that's accepted by faith. The true and real presence of Jesus today, here. That's new, if we understand it as new. And it makes it fundamental to who we are as a person. Because when Jesus said, do this in memory of me, he was not just saying, celebrate this, do the liturgy, do the Mass as I did it. No. He's saying, repeat in your own life what I did for you. And what I bring to you today, this is my body, my individual, personal body, given up, sacrificed for you. Do that in memory of me with your own body, with your own person. Do the same. That's why it's a memorial, not a remembering. We are fed with that body and blood in order to do the same. We know from the book of Genesis that you and I are created in the image and likeness of God. And God sent his son Jesus so that we could see what that image is. And it's to live our life in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that reveals what this image of God is and what the image of the human person is. And so we discover our true self in him. In a society such as ours, which is filled with promises, which is filled with self, me, me, I, that's not the image of God. If God gave himself and we are to do the same, then we live in a false world, a false image of the human person, when it's all about take and it's not about give. When it's about indulge instead of sacrifice. And that's why we are here today to memorialize the one act of love, the greatest act of love in Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation today, which many of us find maybe difficult, but I think this particular passage helps us to understand a little bit better of what John experienced, but also why he was writing. He was writing to a church that is persecuted, and I think, brothers and sisters, if we're trying to understand who we are today, we are in a persecution mode, whether we believe it or not. Whether we accept it or not, with religious liberty, things being imposed on us, our brothers and sisters in parts of the world being sacrificed, martyred, killed, their churches being burned down. It's a modern persecution. And some are speaking of genocide among the Christian people in the Middle East. It's a genocide. Is that not persecution? And with the social media that we have, we need to open our eyes to what's happening there, as well as here among us. And so in the early church, a persecution was going on from Rome throughout the Middle East. But John, on the island of Patmos, had a vision. And he said, I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And a loud voice crying out, saying, behold, God is dwelling with the human race, and he will dwell with them, and he will be their God, and they will be his people. That was to encourage that persecuted church, and it should encourage us today. But you see, if you and I get caught up solely, only, with the rancor of today, and sit back and live a comfortable life, letting the world go by, without a vision of who we are, who we truly are, we won't see those new heavens and new earth. And so we have the word new again also in the book of Revelation. What creates a new heaven? What creates a new earth? What creates a new person? What creates a new family? What creates a new society? What creates a new politics? What will create new? New ideas? New promises? Progressiveness? Conservative? What's going to create the new society that each one of us wanted to live in? If we truly believe who Jesus is, then it's his new commandment that he gave to us. And that is the gospel of today. I give you a new commandment, not the old. The old commandment to love was to love your neighbor, which could mean compassion, certainly mercy, give them what they need if they're hungry. But Jesus is saying the new commandment, and he qualifies it. Love one another as, and that's the qualifying word, as I have loved you. How did he love us? He sacrificed himself for us. That's new. And we don't find that too often in a society such as ours, being filled with new promises, new ideas, and all of these things. What will make the family new, what will make a parish new, what will make a community new, what will make a world new and peaceful is the new commandment. And that's where you and I come in. That as we leave here every Sunday, having been renewed in the memorial sacrifice of Jesus, he did this for us, we receive him, and he receives us, and he says, now go and do the same. And I'm sure many of you are sitting there, this guy is really unreal. Look at the world. How is my little act going to make any difference? What if you're saying that you don't believe in the power and the grace of God? Because of just this number here and perhaps those listening by television, and I know my friends in McConnell will do it, to love your neighbor as Jesus loved us, to give our life. A brief example, and that's what should motivate us in all that we do, because we can become people who habitually do the same thing. We see the same people in our offices, we see the, but every moment is of God, and that vision of something new is in every moment. It's because we don't live in the present moment. We're living the past and the present, the future. We're thinking of all sorts of things. We need to focus ourselves in God. Right here, right now, this is the moment of God for us to live the new commandment. Just a short example. The other day I'd had a very, very long day, and you know, at my age, your feet begin to start hurting you, and you can't wait to get home and put your feet up and just for a little bit before you go to bed. And somebody came and wanted to talk to me. And it was one of those things, could this wait till tomorrow? But remembering the new commandments, and again, that's what has to drive us, sisters and brothers, I said, sure. And what does that mean, to give your life for that person in that moment? It means simply to listen, to without judgment, without comment, just to listen in that case. We have to be willing to do that because it begins to be contagious. Love is contagious, as Jesus taught it. And others begin to do the same thing. That's the kind of love, that's the new love that Jesus brought to us and that he speaks of in the gospel today. Where there is selfishness and self-interest, where there is self-promotion, there's nothing new. There might be a new idea, but it's the old methodology. Where there is love, where there is sacrifice, where there is you instead of me, there's something new. And isn't that what St. Paul told the Philippians? Always consider the other person, consider the other one's needs as more important than your own. That's the new commandment. That's a part of the new commandment. And so all day, with that intention, that kind of love should drive our day. Otherwise, life is so monotonous, and life can become so discouraging, and the empty promises can become so overwhelming that we become negative and discouraged. Jesus did not come to discourage us. Jesus came that we may have life, and not just physical life, but interior life. And that can happen every minute of the day if we simply keep in mind who we are in the image and likeness of God, which means remembering who God is. That in every moment, God is present, God is with us, and He wants us to work with His grace to build up a new society, a new family, a new church, motivated, animated by that kind of love. It might be risky for us to do it, but just think, am I ready to give my life for the person next to me? If we truly follow the new commandment of Jesus, am I ready to sacrifice my physical life? But maybe am I ready to sacrifice a little bit of time for the person who is next to me or the person that I will meet when I leave here today? May we get on board with what is new and live with true sincerity the new commandment that God gave to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us profess our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. And I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our God is gracious and merciful, and so we bring to God our prayers for all who are in need.
For our church, as we strive to love one another and show God's love to the world, as Jesus sent us out to do, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the earthquake victims in Ecuador and Japan, and the flood victims in Houston, that God bless each and every person affected by the earthquake and floods, and surround them with His love and protection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those children receiving the gift of the Holy Eucharist, inflame them with a burning zeal as they approach Thy holy table for the first time. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That during this Jubilee year of mercy, all God's people come to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our troops, that they may be protected and that their efforts to secure peace and justice may meet success. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Beatrice F. Castillo, David Miller, Nathaniel Garcia, Pete Gonzalez Jr., and Minnie Gonzalez, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for all the prayers we hold in the silence of our hearts, for all our intentions spoken and unspoken, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. God of love and mercy, you have shown us what love is in the life, death, and resurrection of your only Son. Hear our prayers and grant them according to your word through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. O God, who by this wonderful exchange effected in this sacrifice have made us partakers of the one supreme Godhead, grant, we pray, that as we have come to know your truth, we may make it ours by a worthy way of life, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all, to laud you yet more gloriously when Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. He never ceases to offer himself for us, but defends us and ever pleads our cause before you. He is the sacrificial victim who dies no more, the lamb once slain who lives forever. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise, and even the heavenly powers and the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice. And giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith. Amen.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, me, your unworthy servant, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Let us pray now together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit. Put it off each other. Sign of peace.
Peace be with you, Michael. Thank you. Peace. Peace.
Thank you.
Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am worthy that you should enter into my roof.
Father Han Fang, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.